Well, as much as any other threat out there to retirees, scams are prevalent. We all get hit by them. We're going to highlight five common scams that you probably have seen, know someone that's experienced, and hopefully don't know anyone that's fallen victim to it. But we're going to help you recognize them. What are the red flags? But also, what steps can you take to protect yourself? That's all coming up. Well, hello and welcome in to Mr. Stillman's Opus. Glad to have you on the show. If you're on YouTube, thanks for joining us. Hit subscribe on the channel. If you're listening, wherever you're listening, please join us on YouTube as well. You'll get to see John's lovely face as always. He's back here once again. John, how are you?
Doing great. Good to see you. Not yeah, the good. Funnest topic for today, though.
It's not. But I'm sure, I mean, we both have experienced, I'm sure, multiple scam attempts. I get them every day. I see them all the time, and I'm thankfully at least aware enough to know just to ignore them and move on. But so many people aren't, are they?
Yeah, I mean, that's why they work, right? Because there are enough people out there that don't see it coming. Some of them seem so obvious to me that it's a scam, but clearly they wouldn't be doing it if it didn't work on somebody.
Well, the key is, the thing is, it's not always that obvious. Even there's times when I'm like, I do a triple check just to make sure, because they are very sophisticated, and technology continues to improve. So obviously they're getting more and more sophisticated as we go along. And eventually we're going to get to that point, John, where we're going to fall prey to a lot of this stuff. So we want to make sure that people are aware of these common scams we want to highlight today. And the ones we're talking about, we have five we're going to go through. Are these ones that you've kind of seen firsthand from people you're working with?
Yeah. So some of these, I have clients who have specifically fallen victim to these particular scams. Others, you know, people have attempted to get clients on them, and others I just kind of know through word of mouth, maybe clients of other advisors that I know who've dealt with some of these.
All right. We'll start off then with phishing. This is the one that probably everybody's aware of. Emails, websites, right? Trying to get you the wrong place. I know people are really sophisticated with like Google search results, right? Well, they'll buy ads that are sending you to a site that you think you're going to, but it redirects you somewhere else, obviously, to get your financial information. But with phishing, what can you do, I guess, to protect yourself here? And what are some of the biggest red flags to make sure you don't fall into this trap?
Yeah, so phishing, by the way, that's not with an F, like a fishing trip. That's with a PH, like the band, phishing. So the way those work is, yeah, you maybe get an email that says something like, hey, your Facebook account has been shut down. Please log in here so that you can get whatever the problem is fixed. Or, you know, DirecTV, your DirecTV service has been canceled. Please log in to enter your billing information to get it corrected. And of course, they're sending you to a fake website that looks just like Facebook so that you can log in, and then they have your Facebook password, and then they can get in and then scam other people because they can send direct messages to other people through your Facebook account. Or it could be that they're going to they're going to give you the DirecTV site. You think you're putting your credit card information into DirecTV, but the reality is you're giving the credit card to some scammer in Bulgaria. So the first thing you do if you get an email like that is, wait a minute, do I even subscribe to this thing, or do I even use this service? Because they don't actually know that, right? They're just sending it out to everybody. Hey, there's a problem with your Spectrum account. Well, if you don't use Spectrum, which, first of all, I envy you if you don't have to deal with Spectrum on a daily basis. But if it's not a service that you use, all right, well, that's a pretty clear sign of, okay, I shouldn't click any further through this. And by the way, just the fact that they've emailed you is not a problem. Like a lot of times people think, oh, no, they have my email. No, I mean, they can get access to anybody's email. They're just sending these out to tens of thousands of people and seeing who they can get to bite. So the fact that they have emailed you is not really a problem. It's when you click and try to log in or put credit card information in or whatever. So that's the first thing. Do I use this service or not? Second thing is, they're saying there's a problem with my service, but is that in fact the case? Like, they say my Facebook account has been shut down, so I need to log in and fix it. Well, how about before you do that, you just go look at your Facebook account and see, wait, it doesn't seem to be shut down. It seems to be working just fine. There's no notifications when I look at my own Facebook page that something is amiss. Okay, so now we know that email is probably a scam. Third thing you can look at is where the email is coming from. So the scammers can't send it from support@facebook.com, right? It's going to come from something that's like Facebook support xyz.something.com, you know? Like, it's going to be a weird website that the they're either sending you to or that the email is coming from. So those can be a sign that it's probably not a legitimate email. And you're right, Ben. A lot of them can look pretty convincing. But on others, if you look a little more carefully, you can say, all right, I can see how this doesn't look very official if I'm actually paying attention. So more often than not, when you get an email like that, there's a different way that you can check to see if there's actually a problem before you go clicking through to fix whatever alleged problem exists.
Yep, and even go as far as when you do click that link, just check the URL once you're there to see what it lands on. But I got one today. I get PayPal a lot. That's the one I get all the time in my email. And I got one today, John, even just a couple of hours ago before recording this. It's a good example about, hey, a receipt from PayPal. And it was from the Maryland Health Connection, which has a .gov address. It's like from a no reply. So I don't know if they got hacked and is sending it out from their account or what. Obviously, I didn't click it and move forward. But it just shows you, like, it's just nonstop. And sometimes it does look official. But again, just always double check, log into your own account, go about it that way before clicking any of their links and going through that. So,
and all of this stuff is like pretty cheap to execute if you're a scammer. I mean, it doesn't cost you that much to get access to 10,000 emails. And then you send this email out to all 10,000 emails, and you only need one or two people to bite before you got your paycheck for the week. So you just got to be careful.
Always probably best to assume that your email has been breached anyway, right? Somebody's got your email somewhere. So just expect that they'll be sending you stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so that's the first common scam that we see. What about government scams? I know I've mostly seen this or heard this from the IRS. It's kind of the one I get all the time about the IRS. You need to respond immediately or blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, so you'll get like a pre-recorded automated voice message often from the IRS. Understand that if you have a problem with the IRS, they ain't calling your cell phone, okay? They're not texting you. You're getting a letter in the mail. That's how they communicate with you. So you're not going to get any other kind of information from the IRS unless you have initiated some kind of contact with them. Any initial contact from the IRS will be a letter through the U.S. Postal Service, all right? That's how they do it. So any call, any text saying they're from the IRS, go ahead and assume that's fake. Usually, when I've gotten these calls, it's very clearly fake. It's either somebody with a very strong accent or it's an automated voice. I don't know why they can't find somebody who sounds like, I don't know, an Emily to do the voice, but I guess they could only find Slovakian scammers to do it. So that's what you end up with. Not to say that everybody at the IRS sounds like they're from Omaha, but, you know, use some judgment. And if the accent is pretty strong, well, let's think through this. They're probably not the IRS.
Have they not heard of Fiverr yet, right? Where you can go on and find pretty much whatever voice you want.
Exactly. Yeah. You could get anybody to read anything. And then with AI, you can turn that into another message that you want it to say. But that's why you said as technology is getting better, these scams are only going to get worse. I mean, yeah, if you can duplicate somebody's voice with AI, then you can see how this can get more and more complex to avoid getting scammed.
Again, as we go through this, if you have questions for John, want to follow up, just go to meetwithjohn.com. You can schedule a time to sit down with John and follow up, whether it be scams or just anything with your financial planning, retirement planning, or wealth management as well. Sweepstakes is another big one. This one's been around, it feels like, for a while, John. I guess I go back to Publishers Clearinghouse. I think I won that a few times back in the day. Never responded, but I definitely got emails about it.
Yeah. So this one I haven't seen nearly as much. I think it probably was a little more common several years ago. But yeah, the idea is you get a message saying, hey, you've won some big sweepstakes and we need you to send us a little bit of money to cover the processing fees so that we can send you thousands. So you need to send us $150 so that we can then send you $150,000. They're willing to give away $150,000. They just can't cover that extra $150 processing fee. You have to do that. I mean, it's just another variation of the Nigerian prince, right? Who says, I have these millions of dollars that I need to send you. I have to get it out of my name. But first, I need your bank account information and like $100 so that I can wire the money to you. It's just another version of that same thing. So just assume that if somebody tells you that you've won a sweepstakes or a contest of some sort, just assume you probably haven't. most likely you haven't won anything, especially if it wasn't something that you signed up to win. Now, if you constantly go around signing up for various sweepstakes to the point that you can't keep up with what kind of contests you've signed up for, then, yeah, okay, it might be a little harder to keep up with what hats you've thrown your, or what rings you've thrown your hat into, I guess I should say, or what names you've put into what hats, maybe is the better metaphor. Anyway, just be careful. You probably haven't won anything. If it sounds too good to be true, what do they always say? Probably is. So watch out.
All right, two more scams. These may be a little bit newer to you. I wasn't aware really of these as much, but I guess they're becoming more prevalent. Start off with grandparent scam. How does this one work?
Yeah, so this is like you get a Facebook message from your grandson that says, "Hey, Grandma, I'm in Amsterdam. I got myself in some trouble here. I'm in the local penitentiary here in Amsterdam. I need $300 to get out. So can you wire me $300 to this account?" That's often how it works. Occasionally, they'll go the gift card route where I need gift cards in order to get out of whatever jam I'm in, because gift cards for a scammer are a lot less traceable than if you just sent money. But a lot of times, if it's electronically wiring money, that's pretty hard to trace too. So if you're getting a message from your grandson that you didn't even know was in Amsterdam, okay, well, let this be a clue. Huh, that's interesting that he didn't tell me he was going to Amsterdam, and yet he feels that we're close enough to be reaching out for help while he's there. Kind of put the pieces together on that. That sounds a little fishy. But then the other thing is, look at the account that it's coming from. Like if it is a Facebook message and you click on the profile of that person that sent you the message, and it's your grandson's name and your grandson's picture, but he only has 7 friends on Facebook and there's only 1 picture of him. Well, it's pretty clearly somebody just created an account that looks like him and it's not actually him. It could be coming from his actual account if they hacked his account, but more often than not, they're creating a duplicate account that looks like your grandson and trying to message you that way. So a lot of times you can just look at the profile and see, this is not the person that it says it is. So I guess the lesson here is try to stay in close contact with your family so nobody's traveling abroad and you're unaware of it. Because if you get a message from your grandson who never leaves Roxborough saying that he's stuck in Amsterdam, well, then you're going to know it's a scam. But, you know, if you got grandkids all over the place, you don't know what they're up to, well, probably easier to get one over on you. So stay in touch with family, I guess, is the best way to get out of that jam.
Again, they cast the net wide enough to where they'll find somebody that is a grandparent that has kids all over the place or grandkids all over the place where this will work. But yeah, just be in contact, communicate. All right, last one, John, romance scams. Tell us as old as time, right? Get lured into some kind of false relationship. But how does this work these days?
Did you ever watch Lost? Did you watch that show? So Sawyer on Lost was a con man, and he was good at these scams. Like before the plane crashed and they end up on the island, this was his life, right? He was a con man. He would get girls to fall in love with him. He would act like he had some deal coming up that he had to go take care of. They didn't really understand what he did or what his job was, but he'd wake up one day and be like, "Oh, I got to go." And he'd pick up his briefcase and the money would fall out of the briefcase. And then he'd say, "Oh, you weren't supposed to see that." And they're like, "What are you doing? Where are you going? What kind of deal do you have going down?" And he would make up some story about the deal that he had. And, you know, he's got to take $100,000 to this guy. And it's like, you know, he wanted to do $200,000, but I wasn't really that into it, so I'm just going to give him $100,000. And the girl's saying, wait, you know, I've got $100,000 I could put into this. If the return is that good, then I'd like to join up with you on it. He's like, okay, well, so he takes her $100,000 and then he's gone. Never see him again, right? So that's your tale as old as time, like you're saying. So in the digital realm, the way this looks is some online dating app or somehow you get connected with somebody online. You start a conversation, you're going back and forth, messaging, texting, whatever, months, weeks, sometimes months go by. You've developed this relationship and then suddenly your girlfriend or your boyfriend on the other side of the country is now suddenly jammed up financially. I really need $25,000. It's not a big deal. Like I'm going to get the $25,000 back next Thursday. I just need a way to front some money for somebody so that I can get some stuff moving with my business, and then I'll get paid next week and I can pay you back. Wire the money to me here. You know the rest of the story, right? You wire the money and you've lost the $25,000 and your boyfriend, who wasn't actually a boyfriend. So I've seen that happen a couple of times with folks. Funny story, I actually have a friend who clearly he was getting scammed. It was somebody who was going back and forth with him for weeks online, and he was convinced he had a girlfriend out of town, and finally she got around to the scam part of the relationship where she was going to try to get some money out of him. Well, as luck would have it, he just didn't have any money. And so he didn't want to admit that to his girlfriend. So he tried to keep the relationship going. And eventually she just got tired and gave up. I think she finally realized, oh, this guy didn't have any money. And so she gave up and walked away. So he got lucky in that he didn't have money. But if he had had some, I can pretty well guarantee you he would have sent the money out that way. So head on a swivel. Got to be aware.
And what do you recommend for anyone that thinks they've fallen victim to one of these scams, John? I know that you probably encourage anyone that has a red flag at least get raised up, that they say, okay, reach out to maybe you and just run it by you. But what should someone do if they think, okay, maybe I took it a step too far?
Yeah, well, obviously, you've got to report it to law enforcement. That's the first step. Your local deputy, your local sheriff's office isn't going to do anything. They're not going to be able to do anything, but that's kind of the first formality, the thing that you have to do in order to get the ball rolling on other stuff. So if it's the kind of thing where you want to take it to the FBI, well, you've got to show that you filed the local report first. That's going to be your first step. The reality is, with a lot of these, if you're actively sending somebody money, there's really nothing that law enforcement can or will do. Now, if it's the kind of thing where somebody has stolen your identity, if they took a credit card out in your name, if they opened a bank account in your name, that's a different thing. If they're creating an account to make it look like you, and then they're withdrawing money from your IRA, and you're not involved, that's a whole different story. That's where the FBI will go to town on somebody. But if you fell for the, I thought this was my boyfriend in Oregon, and I sent him money of my own volition, it's really hard for law enforcement to do anything because, of course, they're going to have you send it in a way that's not traceable in any way. This is not the first scam they've ever run. They know what they're doing. So law enforcement helping you out with that is going to be a long shot. But that's where you have to start, see what they recommend, understanding that there's a good chance you're probably not getting any money back.
Well, if you want to get in touch with John, again, he is a chartered retirement planning counselor at Rosewood Wealth Management. You can call or text 800-545-2991 or easier yet, log on, meetwithjohn.com, J-O-H-N, meetwithjohn.com. Find a time that works for you. Pick it out there from John's calendar, and you'll be off and running. But important conversation, John. I know it's not the typical one we cover here on the show, but one that's important, and hopefully we helped at least one person today, and it's worth our time.
I like to think that at least one person will avoid being scammed in the future, thanks to today's conversation.
Carolina Wealth Stewards, doing business as Rosewood Wealth Management, is a registered investment advisor in the state of North Carolina. The material presented is intended to be general information and should not be construed by any consumer as the rendering of personalized investment advice.